We now present another episode in a radio series based on the world-famous BBC comedy success, Steptoe and Son. With Wilfred Bramble as Albert and Harry H. Corbett as Harold. This week, Lowe's story.
To you, Miss.
Game, set, and match.
I thought you said you could play badminton.
How long have you been having lessons?
What's your own business?
Waste of money, however long it is.
Look, shut up and just untie your end of the net from the Kazi window.
It's always the same. Taking things up, buying all the gear, spending all your money.
If you don't shut up, I'll take this shuttlecock and ram it straight up your carburetor and set fire to the feathers. Any case, how do you expect me to play against that Jacques Tati Serb of yours? I mean, that wouldn't be allowed down the tennis club. In any case, I'm not taking this seriously. Shuttlecock. I mean, this is just to limber up, to loosen my muscles. Tennis is my game. Well, you can't play tennis out here on a titchy pitch like this.
Court.
I know the terminology.
That's about all you do know. You can't play.
How can I play properly in a junkyard, sliding about on all the horse manure?
This is a shame for me.
You've got your off-nail boots on.
Do you fancy another game?
No.
We won't score this time. And then you won't know how many times I beat you by.
I don't want to play anymore.
Well, put my name down to the tennis club. I'll give you a clobbering down there.
So help me, if you as much as step foot in that tennis club, I'll murder you. I've made some very nice friends down there. Very nice class of person. They don't know about you. And that's the way I want to keep it.
I'll join on my own. Beat the lot of them.
You stay away from there. They're very fine people down there. We don't want any dirty, smelly, uncouth little foul-mouthed pillocks in hobnail boots. Turning up all their lovely lawns. Now, if you will excuse me, I'm going to take a shower and get an early night.
You can't stop me joining. They'd be glad to have me. I was champion of my regiment.
Well, I know you were. You was champion of everything, wasn't you? You're a one-man Olympic team, you are. Carrying a flag all on your own. 800 Russians, 9 Americans, and you.
I'm sorry I'm out of breath. I just brought the torch up from Athens. Now what shall I do first? The decathlon or the 3-mile steeplechase? Hey.
You stay away from that tennis club. All right. I've got a bit.
Just because you know I beat you, I always beat you because you're a scrub out. You're useless. You're a pudding.
Yes, sir.
I'll beat you. Game, set, and match.
Beat you. You must kill him. You must kill him. It's the only way. Rise from your bed. Go into his room. Go to his bedside. Pick up the pillow. Shove it over his ugly little face. And kill him.
You're mad. Your potty. The pillow.
Yeah, what about?
He had it over my face.
What did you do?
You've gone off. You're nuts.
Oh, my God. What's happening to me?
Your potty. Potty. Potty.
just relax, Mr. Steppel. Lie back on the couch. I'm going to ask you a few questions. How old are you, Mr. Steptoe?
43.
Married?
No.
No?
No.
Tell me, are you a homosexual?
I'm looking for a clap on you, well.
Do you always overreact when your masculinity is questioned?
Well, not overreacting. I just don't like being called a brown asshole, that's all.
I just said there's nothing to be ashamed of.
It is where I come from. I'm a straightforward crumpet man. I've had more grumble than you've had hot dinners.
It's all right, that's all right. You can relax. I'm very glad to hear it. Now tell me, is your mother alive?
No. She died when I was 6.
See? And you have lived alone with your father ever since.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And last night you woke up to find yourself standing over him, preparing to smother him with the pillow.
That's how I got to kill him. I've got to kill him with my own
please, Mr. Steptoe, do not get excited. Lie back and relax.
I was about to kill him. If I hadn't woken up, I would have done him in.
That is not necessarily true. You were asleep, you have had a nightmare. We seldom do things contrary to our natures under these circumstances. We appear to see what we are acting out. See? I mean, sometimes I dream. I dream that I am running down the street naked.
Do you?
Yes. Don't you?
No.
I mean, it's a very common dream. I mean, I'm surprised you have not experienced it. I mean, tell me, did you love your mother?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Very much.
And do you love your father?
No, I don't.
How long have you not liked your father?
I've never liked him.
And tell me, have you ever thought about murdering him before?
Every day, whenever I see him. But I've never tried it. I mean, it's not natural. You can't go out murdering people just because you don't like them. I mean, that's why I've come to you. I want you to help me. Help me. Oi. Oi. Oi.
Oh, you carry on, please. I am listening, yeah.
Carry on what?
Let me see. Yes. Now, tell me, then you are rejected as a child.
Not by my mother.
Tell me something. Then you breastfed?
Well... Yes. As it happens, I was. Well, we couldn't afford proper milk.
Did your mother have a large bosom? Or a small bosom?
Well, it was a fair size, as far as I remember.
Large?
Yeah.
Inordinately large, or just large?
Well, I seemed quite large at the time. I can't be precise. It was what's the size of my mum's bristles got to do with it?
Mr. Steph, I am just trying to find out whether you miss the security, the comfort of your mother's bosom, the warm, soft, all enveloping protection of those two beautiful large.
There wasn't all that big.
What do you want to know about my father? Yes. Well, we shall go up there. Unburden your mother. Tell me all about your relationship with him. Now, do not be ashamed.
What?
Anything that is lurking in the deepest recesses, we must wrinkle it out.
Well,
none of us are normal.
Yes, but
remember that.
Well,
go back over the years.
Well,
any particular incident, let me spring to mind.
Well, I suppose one of the earliest memories I have of my father was just before the war. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No need to worry. It's all over now.
Right. See, every night when he came home from work, he used to get dressed up. And
Women's clothes, possibly? The knickers, the black suspenders, the little pants, maybe the tie, possibly?
No. That was just his Sunday best. See, now we go out on the Olsen cart. He'd pull up outside the Skinner's Arms, go in, and leave me outside. I used to sit outside there all night with a bottle of lemonade and an arrowroot biscuit. I used to sit there for hours on end. The wind used to whistle right up mid-year. Pathetic it was. I'm 10 years old, and I already had a touch of the farmer's.
The farmer's?
The farmer Giles. I thought he was disgraceful. I mean, I wouldn't see him again until chucking out time. Then his friends would carry him out, sling him on the back of the cart, and I'd have to take him home. Oh, night after night that happened. I never got to bed before 12. Up at 6 to do me paper round. He never spent any money on me. He wouldn't even let me go to the barber's and have a decent haircut. He used to put a pudding basin over my head and do it himself. I had the worst haircut in the district. The teacher used to let me keep my hat on in class. I was known as Geronimo till I was 23. Another time, I remember. I was 14 and I brought my first girlfriend home. And we were standing outside the front door. And I was just going to give her a little kiss. And he threw a bucket of water over her. That's how it's always been. Doctor?
Yes, of course. That was all very, very interesting. Yes, please carry on. Do not stop.
Well, he made me leave school at 14, and I went straight out to work on the cart. He paid me 30 bob a week. I didn't get a raise till I was 26.
Oh, that's very interesting. This happened.
But when I was 18, I went into the army, and I spent 2 years in Malaya. Oh, that is the happiest 2 years of my life, because I was away from him. Everything I've ever wanted to do in life, he's frustrated. Everything I take up, he's better at it than I am. Every time I threaten to leave home, he has an heart attack. He's had 15 heart attacks, to my knowledge. And that was only in 1 week. I put him in an old people's home once. But he was only there 3 days and everybody left. I had to take him home. But that's why I never got married. See, every girl I've ever had, he's messed it up. I remember one occasion. Oh, God. I'll never forgive him for that. I'd met this girl. Oh, we was very keen on each other. At that time, she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen.
Did she have a large bosom?
I don't know. I never saw them.
Never?
No. They felt average.
Average? Tell me, was it average large or average small?
Just average. Are you interested in my case as it stands or not? She was the poshest bird I've ever met. Oh, such breeding. She was the first girl I'd known who ate her peas with the back of her fork. Oh, very impressed with that I was. She was rich as well. Loud did her family were. And there's only her and the old lady. The old man was killed in the war. Oh, I'm sorry about that again.
So that's it, it's all over.
But I could have had the lot. Anyway, I couldn't put it off any longer. See, her mother insisted on coming out to meet my family. Him. So I arranged for them to call on to us for tea. I got home early that afternoon. I got washed, dressed, and I went downstairs to the lounge.
Hurry up! Get ready! They'll be here in a minute.
I am ready.
Have you had a bath?
Yeah.
I mean recently. Within the last 6 months.
I don't have baths in the winter, you know that.
You don't have too many in the summer either.
Well, what's the point? You only get dirty again.
You're doing this on purpose, aren't you? Yes, you are. You're deliberately trying to cold box it.
I can't understand why you're going to all this trouble.
Because I'm trying to make a good impression, aren't I? Her mother doesn't like me. She don't want to see her daughter get tied up with the likes of me.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
Well, then why did you invite her round?
I had to. I had no choice. I was pushed into a corner. Before giving her consent to the marriage, she insisted on meeting the bloodstock. You. Oh, God, why didn't I tell her you was dead like I usually do?
All right, then. If it's so important to you, when she gets here, I'll turn on the old charm. I'll have her eating out of me hand.
No, don't. So go down with bubonic plague. Have you got the tea ready?
Yeah.
Did you make the cucumber sandwiches?
Under the cloth.
Oh, no. Look, cucumber sandwiches aren't supposed to be an inch thick. You don't make cucumber doorsteps. You slices them delicately on little bits of bread. Little thin ones. About half an inch by two.
Ah, they're no good. One burp and you're empty.
You won't be able to get a chopper through them. She's a refined English gentlewoman, not a Russian tractor driver. Oh, God, what a disaster this is going to be. Oh, Dad, please. Oh, do your best. Don't let me down. I'll introduce you. You shake hands and go to bed. All right? Now, where's the aerosol? Just give the room a squirt. Lovely. Right. Now you.
Me?
Yeah, you. Come on, lift up your shirt. Yes, that's better. You smell almost as good as the horse now. Right. Now, no dirty jokes. Best behaviour. No effing and blinding. And don't get too near them.
Hello, Harold.
Bunty, darling.
Oh, darling.
And Mrs. Kennington Stride. Oh, how delightful to see you again. Do please come in. Once you go through into the lounge, this way. It's in here.
Oh, Mummy, isn't it absolutely swole?
The light bulb.
Darling, how on earth did you find a place like this?
Oh, it wasn't easy. We was looking for years. And then one day, Herod's phoned up and we bought it on the spot. Permit me to introduce my father. This is Bunty, my intended.
Hello, love. Nice to see you.
Darling. Oh, he's nice, Harold. He doesn't seem anything like an old misery guts.
This is Bunty's mother.
Charmed, I'm sure. It's a great pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mom.
Well, I expect you'll be wanting to go to bed now, Father.
Just for a moment. Am I to take it you actually live here?
Yeah, all my life.
It seems that I've been somewhat misled. I understood your son to tell me that you were a horse owner and lived next door to the stables near Ascot.
Ah, oh, no, missus. He meant acting.
I saw you. I had no intention of deliberately misleading you, Mrs. Kennington Stride. We do, in fact, own a horse. And, you see, we've got... May I divest you of your outer garment?
My outer... No, thank you. I have no intention of stopping.
Perhaps she's a bit parky. Shall I put the other bar on?
Oh, don't be such a bore, Mother. We've only just arrived.
Perhaps I may proffer you a little sherry to mitigate the ardour of the vexing journey you entailed getting here.
Are you English, Mr. Steptoe?
Eh?
Yes, darling. We would love some sherry.
Oh, that's good. Because I have recently, of late, been fortunate enough to procure from my purveyor...
But there he goes again. Young man, if you mean you've got some sherry, then say so, simply.
Yes, I have half a bottle. Father, would you bring the sherry glasses?
Yeah.
And the dry Orson Welles?
There we are.
What are they?
They were a job lot from the local hospital.
They are specimen glasses.
Well, there's nothing wrong with them. I'll wash them out.
No, no, Daddy. Not them. I told you never to use them in company. I do beg your pardon. We do have some apposite drinking vessels, and we keep them for best.
I don't think we'll bother. I think it's time we were leaving.
No, don't go. You haven't had your tea. I've got it all ready. The cold collation, cucumber sandwiches, fairy cakes, French cream sandwich.
Tin of biscuits.
Shut up. Please, sit down. Father, show Mrs. Stride a chair.
Oh, look, over there. That's a chair.
Oh, he's so amusing, is he not? Convey her to it, Peter.
Oh, I do beg your pardon. May I escort you to a chair? Allow me to thump it for you.
It's the cement dust from when they was building the flyover. Gets everywhere. Don't worry, it'll soon settle.
Oh, Bunty, it's all going wrong.
Don't worry. Just be yourself and stop acting.
Some tea? Thank you. The milk's already in. Sugar?
Thank you.
How many lamb?
Two.
Thumbs, Father, not your fingers.
Well, I suck them clean first.
Well, this is nice. Father, please, not out of the saucer.
Sorry, but the spoon keeps digging in my eye.
Then take it out. Sunningdale must be looking rather lovely at this time of the year. You really ought to see their house, Father. The rhododendron is quite splendid. How many gardeners do you have, Bunty?
Oh, I don't know. 7 or 8. Oh,
imagine that, Father. 7 gardeners. Bunty's mother has 7 gardeners.
Huh? Hey, missus, ask them if they want any horse dung.
Isn't he a card? Oh, the house is quite delightful, too. It's Tudor, isn't it?
Ah!
What's the matter?
Something just leapt onto the table.
Where?
Oh, there's another one.
Oh, oh,
what is it? Where?
There, on the table.
A microscopic animal.
Oh, God, no, not fleas.
Oh.
It's all right. There's nothing to worry about. They're probably off the horse.
Oh.
I shouldn't think for a moment they're human fleas.
Oh, you bring me to a house with fleas.
If there's any fleas in this house, missus, you brought them in.
Look, don't panic out. He'll be all right. Look, I've got some DDT. Just squirt it down the front of your blouse. Just get up with Mrs. Flad. Come back.
I'm coming.
Don't go, Bunty.
I'm coming, Mother.
Bunty.
Goodbye.
Bunty. Does this mean it's all off? Bunty.
You know what I reckon? I reckon it was that mattress I bought yesterday. I didn't like the look of the bloke. I thought he looked a bit cooty.
I'm covered in the boot. Get up.
That's funny. They don't bother me.
I must say that was jolly amusing. How you must have laughed.
No, we didn't. That was all over me. I mean, I had to have all my hair shaved off. I never went out of the house for a month. Bald as a coot, I was.
Yes, it was most distressing.
Now, come to think of it, it's a wonder I haven't tried to kill him before. Shall I carry on?
No, thank you.
No, I've lots more to tell you.
That is all we have time for now.
No, I could go on forever.
I have another patient, and she has very big gums.
What do you think, doctor, please? I'm not going off for my chump.
Heavens, no. There is nothing to ever to worry about. It is a classical case of subconscious wish fulfillment. It happens all the time with bad couples. Look, I will give you some tranquilizers, and what I suggest...
Dad, I'm back. Keep away from me. Don't touch me. They'll soon find out you've escaped. The van will be here in a minute.
What are you talking about?
Didn't they put you away?
Well, of course I didn't. There's nothing wrong with me.
Nothing wrong with you? Trying to kill your own father.
Oh, no. Look, I've had all that explained to me. From now on, I shall be a different person. With the help of my tranquilizer. What are you doing?
Nothing.
What were you writing? Show me. Room to let. Whose room?
Yours.
Mine?
Oh, I took it for granted they'd bung you straight in the nut house. I've got to have some source of income, haven't I?
You curious little... I've been out of the house 3 hours, and you want to let my room... No, I'm not going to let you get on top of me again. Yes. I can see your point of view. Old man, no income. Yes. Oh, it's very reasonable. No, it's all changed. There's nothing you can ever do again that will ever upset me. I shall see you later.
Where are you going?
I'm going down to the tennis club. There's a very lovely girl gets down there on Thursdays. I think she fancies me. She's an extremely good player. With a bit of luck, I might be able to get a game with her.
What's her name?
Christine.
Not the blonde with the big bristles.
Yes.
You're too late, mate. I'm planning at 4:30.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah. I joined this morning. Smashing club, ain't it?
No, I'll kill him! I'll kill you! I'll murder you!
Put that knife down!
I'll kill you! I don't care what happens to me!
You've been listening to Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett as Steptoe and Son, with Graham Stark as the psychiatrist, Joe Manning Wilson as Bunty, and Margot Boyd as Mrs. Kennington Stroud. The program was written and adapted for radio by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and produced by Bobby Jay.